Foundations, Lesson Number 18, Pride and Humility, Part 2. Going on to Roman numeral number 2 on our outline, let's look at the outcomes that result from pride and humility. I invite you to follow along on the outline while I simply read the verses of Scripture listed there. 2 Chronicles 26:16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord tears down the proud man's house. Proverbs 16:5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Isaiah 10:12. When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I personally believe that that verse is worth memorizing. Then Zephaniah 2:9 and 10. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, surely Moab will become like Sodom, the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place of weeds and salt pits, a wasteland forever. The remnant of my people will plunder them, the survivors of my nation will inherit their land. This is what they will get in return for their pride. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride brings him low. Isaiah 2:11. The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled and the pride of men brought low. Isaiah 23:9. The Lord Almighty planned it to bring low the pride of all glory and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Isaiah 2:12. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. Jeremiah 13:9. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A pastor from the Midwest was ministering at a conference. He announced to the people that he was going to give them the name of the ruling spirit who was opposing God's people in their region. Just when he had them sitting on the edge of their chairs, waiting to hear the name of what they assumed would be a demonic principality, he gave them the name Yahweh, which is the ancient Hebrew name for the Lord. Then, quoting the scripture, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He called them to repent of their pride. I'd rather have every demon in hell opposing me than to have God opposing me. And God says he's going to oppose me if I'm proud. Take a look at this list. Downfall, disgrace, house torn down, punishment, destruction, humbled, ruined, being opposed by God. Can you see that nothing good comes out of pride? Absolutely nothing. I say that because in our culture, we don't think of pride as being a big problem, or maybe not even a problem at all. Sometimes it's even rewarded in society. Sometimes it's applauded. But pride is spiritually fatal. It will kill us if we don't get it dealt with. There are times that I've watched God change the outcome of sports games just because of pride. I won't go into detail, but God really does oversee everything, and the race is not always to the swift or the battle to the strong. Andrew Murray once wrote, "Let us admit that there is nothing so natural to man, yet nothing so insidious, so dangerous as pride." The tendency to be prideful is part of our fallen nature, but we can and we must overcome it by the power of God. He and He alone can deliver us from the pride that's in our hearts. Let's cry out to Him and trust Him to do just that. So with that in mind, let's examine some of the outcomes that result from humility. Again, I'll just be reading the scripture verses, and I invite you to follow along on the outline. 2 Samuel 22:28. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. Psalm 18:27. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. Psalm 25:9. He, the Lord, guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 147:6. The Lord sustains the humble. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Matthew 18:4, Jesus speaking. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The highest rank in the kingdom of God belongs to those soldiers who wear the cloak of humility and never take it off. The humble cannot be embarrassed. When we start to feel embarrassed, it's because we're operating in the realm of pride rather than in the realm of humility. The next three verses were covered in detail at the beginning of this lesson. They remind us that whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Then, Proverbs 3:34, He, the Lord, mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6, But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. If you go into an old basement that has an uneven floor, and you take a 5-gallon bucket of water and you pour it out on that floor, where's the water going to go? It'll flow to and settle in the lowest places on that floor. The grace of God is like that. It flows to and settles in the lowest places, the places where there's humility of heart and lowliness of spirit. The grace of God doesn't flow to the high and mighty, to the peaks of exaltation and the mountains of pride. No, a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. The grace of God gravitates to genuine humility, and since everything we have is by God's grace, humility is of supreme importance. So we see here that the outcomes that result from humility are quite extensive and very beneficial to us. Let's remember that everything we believe, do, or say today will shape our life tomorrow. I've never known anyone who didn't want the benefits of humility. So why are so very few people actually pursuing humility? One reason is that humility is quite elusive. As soon as we think we've achieved genuine humility of heart, we've already lost it. For us to say or believe that we are humble is, in and of itself, an act of pride. The story is told of a church committee that wanted to find the most humble person in the congregation and do something special for him or her. They found an old man who was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, and they honored him by giving him a pin. The pin read, "Most humble person in the church." 1 month later, they had to take the pin away from him. Why? Because he wore it. You see, anyone who advertises his humility isn't humble at all. They're drawing attention to themselves and making a display of their accomplishments, which is the opposite of humility. In the same way, as soon as we think we've arrived, as soon as we think we're humble people, we've already lost the humility we thought we gained. I have great confidence in God that He can yet make all of us into men and women of genuine humility. He is able. Another reason that so few people are pursuing humility is that it's not easy to attain. In fact, it's very difficult. It requires dying to self, and self doesn't like to die. Romans 12 tells us that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Dead sacrifices never move, but living sacrifices have a tendency to want to crawl off the altar. They don't want to die. Death to self is painful, but it's worth it. I want to encourage you, don't shrink back from the cleansing fire that will purify you from the inside out. Let the flames consume your pride. You'll be glad you did. I've read authors who believe that the way for us to become more humble is to focus on our sin. I disagree. because the very essence of pride is focusing on self. You can't cast out self by focusing on self, even if it's sinful self. That's not going to rid us of the monster. Let's get our eyes on the Almighty. Let's fix our gaze on the God who's forgiven us, who's redeemed us, who's treated us with incredible grace when we didn't deserve it. If we focus on His goodness, His holiness, His awesomeness, His perfection, in His presence, our pride can be dealt with. The more we worship God in spirit and in truth, the more we focus on Him, the less likely we'll be to walk in pride.